Welcome to this Journey Through the Bible podcast, the third session on this particular series on biblical womanhood and God's design for woman, which the Lord originally impressed on my spirit to use as a subject for our church ladies' morning Bible study some months ago. Today's teaching is a continuation on the study in depth of the Proverbs 31 woman, verses 10 to 31. Starting off today at verse 16. Please note the importance of taking the time to listen to the previous sessions 1 and 2 of this teaching in order to get a better understanding of the subject as a whole and to avoid the possibility of things being taken out of context. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word on this subject. May your word not return void, but accomplish that for which it was sent and prosper. And Lord, thank you for giving fresh revelation on the subject of biblical womanhood and your design for each and every woman that you have created, fearfully and wonderfully in your image. Thank you, Lord, in Yeshua's mighty name I pray. Amen. Reading now from verse 16. She considers a field before she buys or accepts it, expanding her business prudently. The word prudent means to be wise, discerning, and cautious in an intelligent manner, or to be careful. The scripture then goes on to say, with her profits she plants fruitful vines in her vineyard. Now a bit of background to this scripture. In ancient Israel, vineyards were a symbol of wealth and blessing. They required careful maintenance, planting, pruning, harvesting, etc., and often the keepers of the vineyard were women who were diligent and industrious people involved with agricultural activities, such as the Proverbs 31 woman who displayed this godly characteristic called prudence and took the time to think carefully before making financial decisions. The Hebrew root word for considers is zamam, Z-A-M-A-M, and it literally means to plan. Therefore, she made use of finances in a productive way and for a specific purpose, making plans in order to succeed in her endeavors. She is described here as also being a businesswoman who exercised caution in her business dealings. How often Christians have made partnerships with the wrong people and regretted it afterwards. But this woman of wisdom avoided making such mistakes and did not spend money unnecessarily. These godly principles can be applied to the life of any woman, those involved in the corporate world and those who are not. In addition, these same characteristics involving planning and being careful or prudent can also be applied in many other practical ways, some of which I'm going to mention quickly now, in order to provide some modern-day examples of similar kinds of diligence. I'm sure those of you ladies who are listening to this podcast would also be able to share many valuable tips. But here are a few thoughts on the subject, which hopefully will be of benefit. Those of us who are living in countries such as South Africa, it is a wise thing to conserve electricity, whether it be in a home, business, church facility, or school, especially during the winter months. Being careful to turn off lights and geysers wherever possible is a good way to cut back on electricity expenses and also to help our nation minimize load shedding. Also, the collection of plastic bottles, containers, cardboard, milk and juice cartons, etc., for recycling purposes is a good way to help the recycling folk to earn some sort of a living out on the streets in our various communities. Personally, I try my best, for example, to keep aside certain items in our home for recycling purposes by separating them from our normal household waste, ready to put out on a Monday morning for anyone who might like to make use of it and I take extra care to make sure that our dustbin is kept as clean as possible, simply as an act of kindness towards those people who have to rummage through dirty dustbins in order to earn a meager living, a job which no one in their right mind would want except out of desperation for survival. Another example which proves to be economically beneficial is those people who go the extra mile to collect fruit or vegetable waste in order to make compost for fertilization purposes. I'm not one of them, but my mother-in-law had a good system going when she had her own vegetable garden. And there's also a lady in our church who is very diligent in this regard. I've also seen an electrical appliance which can be used to make compost a lot quicker and can be conveniently placed inside the home for those who maybe don't have enough time to use the outside methods, but it certainly saves the cost of fertilizers or compost, etc., for use on gardens or on plants. There are also many economical ways to make sure that food is not wasted. For example, I don't throw away leftovers after a meal, but I freeze those leftovers and I use them for another occasion, for example, for making soup, etc. And we've had many wonderful meals by using leftovers. Also, teaching children not to be fussy eaters or wasteful are also important factors. The issue is, our Father expects us, as his daughters, to cultivate these qualities of diligence and prudence by planning and being careful with that which he has entrusted to each one of us, whether it be from a financial perspective or simply just taking care of our environment to the best of our abilities. Wherever we are able to do so, depending, of course, on our individual circumstances. Our God is a very practical person, and therefore we, as his representatives on this earth, should be as practical as possible too in our everyday lives. Going on now to verse 17 of chapter 31. She equips herself with strength, spiritual, mental, and physical, fitness for her God-given task, and make her arms strong. This woman was certainly not physically weak. The Hebrew root word for strength is amats, A-M-A-T-S, which means to be strong, alert, courageous, brave, stout, bold. She was strong spiritually and mentally as well as being physically fit. The King James Version describes it in a rather old-fashioned way with the words, "She girdeth her loins," which basically means that she was ready for action and service with an attitude of wanting to better herself and improve her skills, and she was prepared for any challenges which came her way. Well, you and I, as women of God, can glean from her example by spending quality time with the Lord and disciplining ourselves in the area of physical fitness. However, gyms can be an unnecessary expense and are often not very godly environments, so discretion is needed in this regard. Exercise can take on many different forms and can be very inexpensive, such as going for a nice, long, brisk walk, walking the dog, or even taking a flight of steps rather than the lift. Improving oneself mentally is also not difficult in a world where there is so much opportunity to develop mental capacity. The Lord's desire is for each of his children to live as balanced a lifestyle as possible. And in all areas of our lives, hearing the voice of God and being led by his Spirit is vital to healthy living, especially in today's pressurized, hurry-rush society where most people are just trying to keep their heads above water in an effort to survive and where the tendency to burn out is often a problem. Having experienced burnout myself on several occasions during my almost 45 years as a born-again believer, I have found personally that wisdom from above is an essential ingredient required in day-to-day living in order to avoid the very negative effects of burnout at all costs. And I'm still learning that very important lesson. Verse 18 of Proverbs 31. She sees that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out, but it burns continually through the night. She is prepared for whatever lies ahead. A little bit of background again. In Old Testament times, lamps and candles were essential for lighting homes. Lamps were made of pottery with a linen wick, which burned olive or other oil. Those who could afford it let their lamps burn throughout the night. Quite a few of these lamps were needed, and they had to be trimmed in order to provide a clean and bright light, requiring regular adjustment. Lamps from a spiritual perspective also symbolize the Holy Spirit, and therefore this ties up with the parable of the 10 virgins, which Yeshua, Christ himself, taught in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. Now the Lord led me to connect this parable with the scripture Proverbs 31, verse 22. But I'm not going to read out the whole parable now, since it should be something which most people know. The emphasis here is that 5 virgins were foolish, thoughtless, silly, lazy, and careless, whereas the other 5 were far-sighted, practical, diligent, and sensible, and obviously wise. The first group, who were foolish, fell asleep, and when oil was needed to trim their lamps, they didn't have any, and so tried to get it from the others, but it was too late. The door was shut, and they missed the bridegroom and the wedding feast. The 5 wise virgins, on the other hand, were properly prepared for the future, having taken enough oil with them. Likewise, each one of us has a responsibility to develop and maintain a personal relationship with the Lord and to be continually filled with His Holy Spirit. Because one day the Lord will return to receive His bride, and His bride is made up of all believers, the body of Christ, which includes men, women, young people, children, people of all ages, believers. He will return when least expected, and we will all need to be ready and well prepared. And I'm just going to read verse 13 of Matthew chapter 25 to emphasize this, where the Lord said, "Be on the alert, be prepared and ready, for you do not know the day, nor the hour when the Son of Man will come." And the Proverbs 31 woman, obviously, can be likened to the wise virgins and not the foolish. Well, verse 19 then goes on to say, "She stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle as she spins wool into thread for clothing." This lady made sure that both she and her family had good quality clothing, and that they were all well dressed, especially during the winter months. The distaff was the staff that held the textile fibers for spinning, and every household in ancient Israel had a loom of some sort. She was a seamstress, and since clothing is a basic necessity of life, the emphasis here is that quite a large portion of her time was spent making sure that this need was met, since there are 4 verses in this portion of scripture which make reference to clothing, but also hold much spiritual significance. So in order to connect these verses, let's go now quickly to verse 21, which says, "She does not fear the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in expensive scarlet wool." The word for fear in the Hebrew is yara, y-a-r-e, and it means frighten or dread. So this lady knew that all the clothing requirements, both for her and for her family, were met. Obviously, for the Proverbs 31 woman, making clothing was a source of income. As verse 24 states, "She makes fine linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes to the merchants." So her business was to supply these garments, sashes, or belts, another word was girdle, used in ancient times, to merchants, offering an essential commodity, since belts were used by all classes of people to tighten tunics and carry items such as money, tools, swords, daggers, for example, for soldiers, in ancient times. Likewise, from a spiritual perspective, as woman of God, the belt of truth is an essential commodity in all of our lives. As Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 states, the well-known portion of scripture on spiritual warfare. But it's important to make sure that we gird ourselves as woman of God with the truth of God's word and are always ready to share it with others. In addition, we need have no fear for the safety, whether it be our husbands, our children, family members, or whoever it might be, because the blood of Christ, which is symbolized by the garments of expensive scarlet wool, provides much needed protection through our prayers and intercession, otherwise known as pleading the blood. Now, of course, pleading the blood, as I mentioned just now, can extend to many different situations depending on what God has called each one of us to pray for. It can extend to nations, it can extend to communities, it can extend to all sorts of areas, just depending on what the calling is on our individual lives. But from a purely practical perspective, God cares for each of his children and knows our needs. Clothing is a necessity of life. And like the Proverbs 31 woman, we need have no fear either. For her own clothing is described here in verse 22 as linen, pure and fine, and purple wool, all symbolic of wealth and prosperity, which is God's desire and design for all women. Purple dye in biblical times was highly prized and was associated with royalty and prestige, and used both in the tabernacle and temple in the Old Testament. It was laboriously produced from the secretions of sea snails in the Mediterranean Sea and was a very costly process, hence its intrinsic value. Well, no matter what our source of income might be as women of God, we don't have to be seamstresses and to work in the area of sewing clothes to be blessed by God, as this Proverbs 31 woman obviously was. It doesn't matter how we earn a living. That is not the issue. The issue is that God is our provider, and as long as each one of us is diligent in whatever God has called you and I to do, the Lord is our provider. And I'm going to end this teaching now on that wonderful note and continue with the rest of Proverbs 31 and draw it to completion in the next Journey Through the Bible podcast. So join me again then. Be blessed in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.